bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Now, there are blogs that are out there saying that I'm leaving because I've harassed my staff.
Does it make you angry when people talk about, you know, Sean Penn, the Hollywood star?
It's the latest social networking craze called chat roulette.
Today we learned that 36,000 Americans lost their jobs.
I forgot he was black tonight.
Breaks my heart to take all that good stuff.
World famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. This is a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch on this show. And it's a show that takes you to the outer limits. This is the Alice in Wonderland approach to talk radio. I don't really know, other than to tell you that on our show, we perform more than we actually look for anything meaningful to say. See, because in point of fact, it is my avowed belief that nothing really meaningful is said on talk radio. Not nothing you can really take away, you know. Not anything you can really take away from the radio and apply. I can assure you, there is nothing that is done or said in talk radio that you can walk away from the radio and say, "Wow, that's really heavy. I think I can live my life by that," or maybe it's something that I can apply to my political philosophy. No, you can't. No, you can't. You may think that you can, but you can't. There just ain't that many heavy thinkers on the radio. However, what we do is endeavor to entertain and make you laugh. All right, our number is 877-876-PHIL. And to the extent that we'd like to make you laugh this evening, we have Stephen Bozell coming up next hour, a construction contractor who will be talking about this very story we're going to be getting into right now, chat roulette and his experience with chat roulette, and a lawsuit that he feels he is now forced to file against the Tea Party, among others. However, if you haven't heard of chat roulette, you can go online, you can take a look at it. We've been looking at chat roulette this evening here, both myself and members of my staff. And as far as we can tell, it's just one video cam after another showing guys exposing themselves, basically guys showing their penises to their cameras. Now, chat roulette was created by a young man, a teenager in Moscow, in Russia. The teen creator of Chat Roulette, a video chat site that recently has taken the internet by storm, has implemented a new safety feature designed to shield youngsters from other users' inappropriate behavior. But experts worry the precautions are not enough. Chat Roulette users can now click on a report inappropriate video link to notify the site's creator. And he is 17-year-old Andrei Ternovsky of Moscow, Russia, of objectionable content. An update posted on the site reads, "I've also been experimenting with new report systems. CR should be clean from bad stuff now." Maybe, maybe not. We just, basically this site, and I got to tell you, Andre, my young brother, if you're listening, dude, the only cats that are using this are guys with their pants off, man.
Yeah, just looked in on Robert and I checked it out. That's all we're seeing are guys with no underwear.
Thank you very much, bud. Thank you.
Just want to tell you. All right, we're going to go back and look at it some more.
Yeah, you do that, man.
Yeah, I'll look it up now.
Yeah, well, don't sound like you're enjoying yourselves, okay? Anyway, as its name implies, chat roulette involves randomly pairing a user with another person online for a real-time video and audio chat. As you can imagine, this exposes both parties to a mixed bag of experiences that can range from a group of college kids in Boston looking for a virtual party to lone men seeking a voyeuristic experience. Well, 99.9% of what we saw was in the lone men looking for a voyeuristic experience category. While the opportunity to converse, now, if you don't understand what it is I'm saying, it's basically this. You go to the site, you log on, and there is a little TV screen, and you hit next, and as you hit next, up pops an image, and then you hit next, and up pops another image, and all of these images are coming from other people's webcams. Now, if you yourself do not have a webcam, if it isn't built into your computer or otherwise you haven't connected one, then they only see a black screen. You see their camera, or maybe a black screen if they don't have a camera. You can also chat with them, and I believe it has an audio feature and it has a text feature. In going through chat roulette, I think, what was that one guy?
He said, "Please don't next to me. Nobody wants to see my you know, ween." He didn't say that.
You don't have to tell me what he said. He said, "Please don't next me," meaning don't hit the next button. This is all, you know, internet speak. Don't next me. Don't hit the next button because nobody wants to see my blank. Do you? Question mark, right? Okay. Dude doesn't even have a camera. So that was, that's what we saw. It looks to me like that's all it is. In any event, while the online, while the opportunity to converse with teens around the globe may be appealing, many parents and internet safety experts are concerned about children seeing objectionable activities. So yeah, it is, you know, if I was a young person, and this is what I would think. I would think, boy, you know what? Every time we turn around, there's an adult trying to ruin the fun that we have. And adults will tell us, no, they're not. Adults would tell us that we're just chafing at the reins, if you will, that have been applied to us. We're just restless under the constraints that adults apply to us. But really, even if the adults that love us aren't around, there's adults there that are, you know, trying to screw us up some other way. I mean, kids are at risk from predatory adults all the time. Predatory, sick, diseased adults all the time. Sometimes they're their own parents. Seriously, sometimes they're the friends of their parents. Sometimes it's an uncle, it's a stranger. Is there ever a time that a kid is not at risk from an adult? Ever? All right, so, quote says, Perry Aftai, he's an attorney specializing in internet privacy and executive director of WiredSafety.org. I do not see that Chat Roulette is doing what they need to do to protect the user. He said, I recommend people stay away from this site. Chat Roulette can, I would recommend that too. If you're a parent with a, you know, you're concerned, I wouldn't have your kids going anywhere near this because all it is a bunch of guys, roughly 20s to 30s and beyond, but mostly in their 20s and 30s, you know, exposing themselves. Chat Roulette can combine the thrill of a potential window on a forbidden world with little actual physical risk. Users may click next at any time to exit the session and proceed to the next pairing. But even a glimpse may be overwhelming for some users. There are people displaying shock images of pornography, engaging in sex acts in front of the camera, and many others. Glimpses into things that parents and teens may wish they'd never viewed, said Amanda Lenhart, the director of the Pew Internet and American Life Project. WLWT, in whatever city this is in, Curtis Fuller talks with a cybersecurity advocate from the about the controversies around Chat Roulette. What city is this anyway?
It's the latest social networking craze called chatroulette.com, intended as a fun way of meeting people online. The idea being you never know who you might connect with by way of webcam. But the controversy is many people are showing more of themselves than we could ever show you in this story.
Anytime you have new technology, there's always ways to turn it into something that it shouldn't be.
Cyberspace is filled with questionable websites, but Chat Roulette takes things to a whole new level that puts your children at risk of being exposed to this smut. The safeguard, a worthless warning saying you must be 16 years old to enter the site. Parents, watch out.
So that's Chat Roulette coming soon, or it already has, to a computer near you. Our number 877-876-PHIL. Coming up, we got Stephen Bozell here on the Phil Hendry Show to talk about Chat Roulette and how he's thinking about suing the Tea Party. What has that got to do, you know?
He thinks the Tea Party did it.
He thinks the Tea Party started Chat Roulette. Well, no, they didn't. Also, Ben Roethlisberger, the quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers, is in trouble for sexually harassing somebody. We'll tell you all about that when we come back. And the Dream Team agrees a huge asteroid killed dinosaurs. That would be the Scientific Dream Team. We'll be back. Phil Hendry Show. Find out, you know, I would love to see the answer to a email that I sent out this afternoon. I mentioned this to my video cast audience on our website. We do a video cast, which we're still doing right now at philhenryshow.com, but we started at 9 o'clock at night. And sometimes in our pre-show, which we call our uncensored pre-show, I'll get into some stuff with the video audience that I frankly can't talk about with my radio audience. And the reason why is because, how do I put this delicately? We get into it's very free expression. No, I have not received any reply from these people. Well, So I can't say anything about it other than to tell you that I've had a long-standing association with an organization for many, many years, and it's about to go south. And I mean it's going to go south publicly, and it's going to go south with no holds barred. And I haven't mentioned their name, and I won't mention, and it's not a radio organization. It's not a radio station. It's got nothing to do with the radio business. But I have been associated with them. And I'll tell you something right now. If certain things don't happen the way that they should, then we are publicly going to disassociate ourselves. And I'll tell you why, too. I have seen in my life, especially during this recession, you know, it's a terrible time, a recession, because not only are people, you know, having a hard time, but you're seeing people acting like animals. You're seeing them grabbing and grabbing, you know, and grabbing and tearing and stealing you know, everybody getting their own. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether they're breaking the law. You know, if they're not caught, people are going to go above and beyond. Just the way we got into this recession is the way people are behaving now that we're in it. You know, in other words, we got into the recession because people were cutting corners and going around the, you know, going around the rules and not, you know, not dotting the I's and crossing the T's and not giving a crap whether or not they were passing on some quote unquote toxic paper, kicking it upstairs, and they got theirs, and that's just fine. That's how we got into this thing. And now that's exactly how we're staying in it. Nobody's learning anything. This recession's blowing my mind. There's not a soul out there that's learning anything from why it is we got into this economic mess in the first place. And the reason why we got into the economic mess in the first, all I see are people missing the point. And I mean, you talk about missing the point, Jack. What the hell is that, man? Oh, it's the government, man. It's the government, the government, the government. I've never seen in my life an American population, a group of voters, a group of concerned citizens get it more wrong than the American people of the year 2010. They are completely 180 degrees off the track. And you could, and the other thing that's really tragic about it, you can't tell them. I can't say you're wrong. Oh, they're absolutely sure. Let's take, for instance, this jackass, this John Bedell. Let's listen to this guy.
The blatant violations of the Constitution's limitations
on the
economic role of the government.
Okay. First of all, we can all agree and we can all disagree on what the Constitution of the United States calls for, limits, or otherwise allows or doesn't allow. And as many people have said, many smarter people than I, the Constitution is a list of negatives, what you're not allowed, what you can't do, what you can't. But the fact, you know, what the government isn't allowed to do. But the fact is, inherent are things that are positives. That is what is allowed. Now, here's a guy. I wouldn't know this guy from, I wouldn't know him from anybody else, any other bipolar nut. Now, he's going to tell me what's in the Constitution. Not only is he telling me what's in the Constitution, by God, he's going to kill me if I don't agree with him. The Constitution, something that the Supreme Court of the United States of America sweats blood over every day. Not just one Supreme Court of the United States of America. We've had like 8 million of these guys. They are all guys. They all look different from one generation to the next. They wear the big, long black robes. Some of them had long hair. Some got short hair. Some wear glasses. Some are women. Some are black. Some are white. Some were Jews. Some aren't. Some are stupid, some are bright, some were great, some are not so great. Supreme courts, all the way on back to George Stinkin' Washington, we've had Supreme Courts. And these guys have sat down and they've taken a look at the Constitution. They said, what the hell were these guys trying to say when they said this, and how are we going to apply it to life today? Now, most of the people that comment on the Constitution have never, ever in their lives, and if you think I'm making an absolute statement, yes, I am. Most of the people that comment on the Constitution of the United States have never in their lives been around the reasoning, the argument, the opinion that goes into the decisions that the Supreme Court makes. How is it that the Supreme Court can say in 1895 there is such a thing as equal, separate but equal, in 1895, separate but equal, and then in 1954 say, no, there isn't? Why? Shouldn't the Constitution say exactly the same thing? Why is it, for instance, that in 1859, in the Dred Scott case, we found that a slave could be taken into a free state and still remain a slave. That was constitutional. Well, all of a sudden we had an amendment to the Constitution that outlawed slavery, and guess what? But how is it that separate but equal was applicable in the 1890s and it isn't in the 1950s? Why? There isn't anybody that can tell me. I know the answer. But if I went into a group of Tea Party people, or if I went into a group of progressives, the Arianna Huffingtons, if I was at her house and I was having cocktails with her as she chit-chatted about how George Bush was shredding the Constitution, there isn't a group of those people that would be able to tell me why. David Souter, when he left the Supreme Court, articulated it. And a great many have before him. He said that you must look through the lens of contemporary times. What other choice do we have as Supreme Court justices but to look at this document through the lens of the times we live in? For someone to say that the framers didn't intend, for instance, for us not to be a Christian country is as stupid a thing as has ever been articulated. And yet, that's one of those arguments that people hold on to. Well, the framers didn't intend us to have free slaves. The framers didn't like slavery necessarily, but they wanted to get on with the construction of a country, and so they didn't maybe intend us to have. You can make these arguments, and you're talking into the wind. So now we are at the mercy of a blithering idiot like this guy Bedell, or a jackass like Joe Stack. These people who know better than the rest of us. These people who believe that they have done everything that they can, and now that they've done everything that they can, somebody is going to die because they didn't get to have what they wanted to have. They didn't get their way. So someone's going to die. Now along comes this guy Bedell, and here is his argument.
The blatant violations of the Constitution's limitations on the economic role of the government, accomplished through many subtle usurpations over many decades, are perhaps even more pernicious than, and are certainly a key motivation for, the violent seizure of the United States government. In order to establish a firm and lasting basis for justice and sound government.
Right. A violent overthrow of the most just government in the history of the world will establish a basis for an even more just government. That John Bedell and Joe Stack and all of the other brain surgeons out there who know better will violently overthrow the best idea the human race ever had at government, and their idea of government, well, that's going to be a good one. This one, not, it ain't too good. And the usurpations and the this and the that and the something else, all those nice words, those $50 words, that's great. But the what we're going to put together, it's really going to kick some ass. Yeah, sure. You'll pardon me if I don't trust you. I'm looking at a government that works pretty damn good. I'm looking at a lot of people that are unhappy because the times are tough. I'm looking at a government that is trying to figure it out. And this isn't the first government that spent a lot of money on trying to rescue the American people that has tried to insert itself into the social and economic well-being of the American people. It's not the first time the federal government has done this. This is not anything new, and it goes back many, 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 many years. But God, don't tell these people who would swear up and down that Obama is the second coming of Trotsky. Don't tell them that. Don't confuse the issue with the facts, whatever you do. I think it's going to be fantastic. I hope the Republicans get everything they want in 2010. I hope it's a Tea Party landslide. I'm going to repeat myself. I hope it's a Tea Party landslide. I'm going to make a prediction because the predictions I made about Obama came true. Every last one of them. Now I'm going to make another prediction. Only I don't know if the Tea Party people are going to get in as strongly as they think they are. But I'm hoping that they do. Because you're going to see, if you think Obama is a flip-flopper, which he's not, by the way, he's a pragmatic man, he's not a flip-flopper, but that's okay, it doesn't matter. Like I said, don't confuse the issues with the facts. You want to see some flopping and flipping, baby, wait till the Tea Party cats get in there. All of a sudden, they're going to be sitting at those desks, they're going to be looking at problems that they had the big fat mouth about how they were going to solve them, and if you think they're going to be rolling taxes back, If you think that they're going to be true to their word about cutting taxes and helping business, I got news for you. They're not going to cut any taxes. I have a prediction. The Tea Party people may even create a few new ones. I mean, they are called the Tea Party people. You know, we'll be back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
Two University of Missouri students have been arrested for cotton ball hate crime. The University of Missouri police have arrested two white naval midshipmen. They're students and they're naval midshipmen for spreading cotton balls in front of the campus Black Culture Center. What a strange thing to do. Let's find out why. Is it because they are virulent racists? Senior Zachary Tucker, age 21, freshman Sean Fitzgerald, age 19, were arrested Tuesday about 7:30 p.m. after authorities received an anonymous tip. Fitzgerald and Tucker have been arrested on the suspicion of one count of felony each of tampering and could face enhanced penalties under Missouri's hate crime law. Tampering. Investigators say the two male suspects spread cotton balls in front of Missouri's Black Culture Center on Friday. Said the Black Culture Center director, Nathan Stevens, we do presume that they are innocent until found guilty in a court of law. Missouri University Chancellor Brady Deaton has temporarily suspended these two students. They got arrested for a one-count felony of tampering. In addition to being suspended from Missouri, the two midshipmen have also lost all privileges from their naval ROTC program. Military leaders have put Fitzgerald and Tucker on an interim leave of absence. They are average college students. Nothing really stood out about them. They are very average. They are typical students here at the university, said Captain Robert Wilson of the ROTC. Authorities released Fitzgerald and Tucker from the Boone County Jail after they each posted a $4,500 bond. The first court appearance, blah, blah, blah. Boone County prosecutor. You know, this is one of those stories that doesn't tell you anything. They are giving us the basic information. It's not a very good story. And you know that most of what we do on this show, because the nature of the news that I read on the show is really bad. And by that, I mean it's badly reported. It's badly written. It's not completely thorough. It doesn't tell you anything. This story is no different. But this is exactly how they're reporting news these days. So they've given me the story that these two students have been arrested for hate crimes. I don't know what the hate crime is other than putting the cotton balls out there. Some people may think that's funny, but what makes life difficult for me is not knowing what it is they're talking about, you know? Cotton balls, I guess, what does that mean? Go out and pick some cotton? But we don't know. Nathan Stevens of the Black Culture Center, blah, blah, here he is. I guess he's going to say the same thing in this tape that we just quoted, which is that they are innocent until proven guilty. His Black Culture Center was the target of the cotton ball hate crime, talking to KRCG television.
We do presume that they're innocent until found guilty in a court of law, or there's a student conduct process that we go through here at the University of Missouri. I think those systems just have to allow themselves to be played out.
Okay, well, that they're two members of the United States Naval Academy, or that they're two members of the U.S. Navy ROTC program, if they're found to have actually been engaged in a hate crime, then I guess they get their ass kicked out of the Navy. Isn't that what should work? Meanwhile, Harry Reid.
But what about it?
What do you want me to say about it? There's nothing to the story. There's absolutely nothing to that story. There's nothing to that story. There's no background. They don't tell me anything. Apparently, these guys. There must be something about cotton balls that is very specific to this particular. Maybe, it, you know, go out and pick some cotton. OK, but the story doesn't give us any background, doesn't give us any context, doesn't give us any history of race relations on the campus and why these two guys would be doing that. Anything that preceded it, anything that came after it. It is a terrible story. So we move on. Harry Reid, Senate Majority Leader, ripped Republicans on Friday for having irresponsibly mischaracterized his remarks on February's job numbers. It wasn't so much that the Republicans ripped you, Harry. It was that your video went viral when people heard you as you were talking about February's jobless numbers. And what you said sounded a little weird, man. He took to the Senate floor Friday afternoon to characterize remarks he made this morning in which he appeared to celebrate last month's job numbers as really good news. Here is a short soundbite from Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid, which went viral this morning.
Today is a big day in America. Only 36,000 people lost their jobs today, which is
really good.
Now, I can tell he's being sarcastic. Anybody with an education above kindergarten can tell he's being sarcastic. But as they've often said, there's two things where sarcasm doesn't translate very well. Sarcasm doesn't translate very well on MySpace, Facebook, or Twitter. And sarcasm doesn't translate very well when it's being, you know, used by people that don't understand sarcasm as actual truth, as an actual factual statement. That's a sarcastic remark. Later in the day, Reid clarified, like he had to, his comments.
Today we learned that 36,000 Americans lost their jobs in February. Those families don't need today's Department of Labor report or anyone else in Washington to tell them what that means for putting food on the table or making car payments or utility payments or affording health care. It's devastating news. But if we're going to discuss the state of our economy...
We already know that, Harry. You shouldn't have to explain it, all right? These are political enemies. I don't think Harry Reid's the greatest senator that ever walked the face of the earth. I think the guy ought to be voted out of his job. I think he sucks. Oh, we're not on in Vegas anymore? Well, okay. Then it doesn't make any difference. But the fact is, I think he sucks. But the man didn't say anything there that he should apologize for, because he's got political enemies who want everything that he says to be... everything that he says to be a foot-in-mouth disease-type statement. Yeah, naturally. All right, 877-876-PHIL. Coming up, Steve Bozell, world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
Phil, study. Happiness is experiences, not stuff. If you're trying to buy happiness, you'd be better off putting your money toward a tropical island getaway than a new computer. The results show that people's satisfaction with their life experiences, with their life experience purchases, anything from seeing a movie to going on vacation, tends to start out high and go up over time. On the other hand, if you buy something, it's not that great. So the fact is, if you buy something that, something that won't make you as happy as if you have an experience. Okay. And that's a study from Life Science. They give reasons, but oftentimes science will already tell you something that you know. Maybe it's the reasons, though, that we find fascinating. I don't doubt that the experiences that we have are far more valuable than the things that we have, you know. Because I grew up in a house where my parents took us places, you know, and we had things, but I would have preferred more time with my parents than just, you know, Christmases with a lot of presents and things like that. I think just looking at it as a kid, these findings are based on 8 separate studies, and they agree with previous research showing that experience-related buys lead to more happiness for the consumer, but the current work provides some insight into why. Among the reasons, people are more likely to mull over their material purchases than they are experiential ones, second-guessing themselves about whether they really made the best choice, and we tend to think of experiences more on their own terms. So, anyway, that's that.
What's the matter, Ian?
Well, there's no news, man. There's nothing in this pile. I'm looking at this. Look at this. Representative Massa resigns under ethics.
Yeah, you look like you're bored with a lot of stuff.
This is the worst stack of news I've ever had put in front of me in my life. There's nothing here, man. New York, why do you say we just close up the show earlier? Get Mr. Bozell on early?
Well, let's see if he's there.
I mean, I've never done this before, but we maybe just bring Mr. Bozell on a little bit sooner than we had planned, because I have to tell you, there is this... some people will say that there's all kinds... There's nothing going on, folks. Believe me, there's nothing going... Nothing that you need to worry about, okay? So we're going to get Stephen Bozell in here. We're going to talk about chat roulette, I think, a little early here tonight. If we can, we'll go, an extra segment or two with him. Mr. Bozell, as we told you, is a father living in Corona, California, got extremely concerned with chat roulette. He's got a daughter and a son that use their computers. And we're going to bring him on the air. Buddy, you got him?
Yeah.
We're going to get him on the air right now to talk about this phenomenon that we'd briefly discussed with you guys. And in fact, we were just after the break, we talked to you about during the break going on Chat Roulette. Steve, you there?
Yes, sir.
Steven, we wanted to have you on, I know, in a few minutes, but we thought we'd go early with this thing on Chat Roulette because, quite frankly, you believe that Chat Roulette, this new website started by this kid in Russia, has something to do with the Tea Party?
Well, let me back up. I heard the, and I had a good friend of mine, Mr. Roy Hutchins, who told me that he was listening to you earlier, and I'm a little bit nervous, too.
Well, I'm sorry if we caught you unawares.
No, I was going over my notes anyway. I was told that by Mr. Hutchins that Chat Roulette was a place where Tea Party people and conservatives got together to discuss the issues that are most important to the American people, to the movement, particularly a couple of the congressional races that were going to be run by Tea Party people.
You were told that the Chat Roulette site was a Tea Party?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
So I went over there, and I saw this website that had images, one image after the next, of men who had their pants off, and a image of a group of what at first I thought...
All right, let me help you out here, because I know you're a little bit nervous.
Yes, sir.
All right. You told my producer that you went over to this Chat Roulette site thinking it was a Tea Party site. Why is that?
Mr. Hutchins.
And Mr. Hutchins is a next-door neighbor?
Yes, sir. He's a friend of mine and told me that if I wanted to learn more about these two congressional races that I was interested in, that the Tea Party and the Tea Party conservatives were also sponsoring a couple of meetings next week, which would be out here in the Inland Empire, California.
To go on this website called Chat Roulette?
Yes, sir.
All right. Now, you didn't see these guys without pants on first. You saw what?
When I went over there, I saw what looked to me to be a meeting. It looked like it was a discussion group. And so I sat in on it. I wasn't quite sure how to get involved, but it was looked like four or five women who were involved in a discussion group. And then they began to take their shirts off. So you understand?
All right. So you're on the Chat Roulette. You're thinking it's a Tea Party site?
Yes, sir.
And the women that you saw, were they women?
Well, no, sir. They turned out to be 11-year-old girls or 12-year-old girls.
And so they started taking their shirts off.
Yeah.
So you hit it. So what did you think you were looking at?
I thought that it was... I don't know what I was looking at. I thought that it was... some kind of a ridiculous, candid image. I kept trying to contact them, saying that my name is Stephen Bozell and I'm interested in talking about the Tea Party, and they weren't listening and they had their tops off. So that's when I hit next, which is the button you can push to get another image, and that's when I saw a man and he had his pants down. And I hit next and I saw probably four or five images of guys who didn't have any pants on.
Now, at some point, you got to realize you're not on a Tea Party site.
That is, well, I had no idea what it was that Mr. Hutchins was referring to. I thought maybe I had gotten it wrong. So I emailed Tea Party West, which was an organization that Mr. Hutchins belongs to. It's a Tea Party conservative organization.
What's it called again? Tea Party West?
Tea Party West, yes, sir.
All right.
And I emailed them, and I told them that I felt that if this, in fact, was a... an interactive site being run by Tea Party, I thought it was obviously in very bad taste, if not criminal, that they should disassociate themselves with whoever was involved in it. And they told me that they had no such website, that it was not being run by Tea Party West or any other Tea Party organization, and that I'd been lied to. And that's when I decided that I would call my attorney. And that's what I did.
So you contacted this attorney. You have this attorney, Dolores Blazingame.
Yes.
And you told her that you had been told to go to this website, told that it was a Tea Party or a conservative chat site called Chat Roulette.
Yes, sir.
You had not known anything about it. You get to this website, you think you're looking at a discussion group, and it's a girl. It's a little girl slumber party. Is that right?
Well, it was a group of women. That's what it turned out to be. But they were sitting in a circle and they were talking, and I thought that they were young women, and that's when their blouses come off and all, you know, all bets are on. I remember thinking this can't be a tea party site if I'm looking at twelve-year-old girls with no blouses on. So then I hit the next button.
Well, at that point, why didn't you just go off the website?
Because I didn't know what. If it said next, whether these were images of different Tea Party groups, you know, I had no idea. And that's when I saw probably in succession one, two, three, and I wrote it down in my notes, I probably saw four penises in succession.
All right, I understand. So you saw four men who were exposing themselves.
Yes, sir.
All right, now you call up the Tea Party people to find out whether this is their site, and they tell you, no, it isn't.
That's exactly right.
Well, did you talk to your friend, Mr. Hutchins?
Well, that's when I had the conversation with Mr. Hutchins, and that's when he asked me, when I saw the first guy with his pants off, did I join the discussion? And that's when I knew. And
what did he say?
He was being a smartass. He was being a smartass.
All right, so he admitted that he sent you to some goofy site?
Yeah, he admitted he sent me to a site that was not a Tea Party site.
All right, now, Mr. Bozell, I got to ask you, because your lawsuit is not only directed at this man Hutchins, it's also directed at Tea Party West. It's directed at a Tea Party organization. You're suing them.
That is correct.
Why?
My attorney, Ms. Blasingame, told me that, and I said I wanted to sue the Tea Party, but I shouldn't because they had nothing to do with the website that had guys showing their penises. And she said no. If it was Mr. Hutchins who directed you to that site and he is a Tea Party member, that they are liable.
And why would they be liable? They're liable for the actions of one of their members?
That's correct, yes, sir. That's my understanding from my attorney, yes, sir.
All right, I'm going to give our number out here. And as I said, we brought Mr. Bozell in a little early here tonight. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. Stephen Bozell on the line as we talk about a lawsuit that he's filing against his friend, Mr. Roy Hutchins, and Tea Party West, because he was directed to Chat Roulette, told that it was a Tea Party discussion site, and in fact saw on the videos naked men and naked women. He saw a girl slumber party and a series of, what did you say, four?
It was five quick successive shots of a man's a penis. And
All right. So it was five shots in succession. You went to five different sites?
Yeah, I went to five different chat sites, and it was five, one, two, three, four, five in a row that I saw.
All right, so and at that point, you realized you didn't have the Tea Party.
I didn't have the Tea Party.
All right, some people are going to ask, Mr. Bozell, why are you fooling around suing the Tea Party? Why are you even fooling around suing your friend when it was a joke?
Okay, it's a good question. When I went over to the Chat Roulette site, believing it to be a Tea Party site, the first image I saw was an image of four women, four females, who took their tops off and their blouses off too, and were nude from the waist up. Turned out to be teenage girls in a slumber party. So that exposed me to the possibility that I was a pedophile, which I'm not. But it made me be exposed to maybe being one. Then when I went to the next, and I went to the next, and I went to the next, that's five in a row, and it was five gay male shots, that exposed me to another form of what I would consider be aberrant. And all I wanted was to go on and look at a Tea Party discussion group. It was my feeling then that Mr. Hutchins had sent me to this website that he knew is not Tea Party, and also that the Tea Party would have a man in their organization, such as Mr. Hutchins, who thinks it's funny, sending me over to, you know, to look over at hot gay male, which is what they call it.
And I don't know what you mean, hot gay male.
That's what they would call that.
Well, all right. Well, when I looked at Chat Roulette, it just is one, you know, camera after another.
And that's correct.
And so the Tea Party and Roy Hutchins, both in your mind, are responsible because the Tea Party has a man like that in their organization, and he is the individual who lied to you and said that was a Tea Party site.
That is correct. And I'm worried for a lot of different reasons. He knows I was there. The Tea Party people now know I was there. And I've got to be proactive and let them know that I'm not going to let them think of me as some kind of a pervert when, in point of fact, they sent me there.
All right, I understand. Stephen Bozell with us tonight, 877-876-PHIL. Also still to come, Sarah Palin is shopping a reality show, The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.